When we're discussing the requirement of the Hefsek Tahara, she says that the only way that a woman knows that the bleeding is stopped is if she actually checks herself before it. So the context of Hefsek Tahara, the Gemara, was in the Mishnah, the Gemara, the end of says Nida, was in the context of a regular Nida. A woman who in a Torah sees blood for a couple of days, and then she wants to know, has the bleeding stopped? Can she just go to the mikvah that night, at the end of the seventh day? So the Mishnah says that unless she's proven that the blood stopped, she can go to the mikvah. Then the Rishonim say, well, the same way we have a concern of Hefsek Tahara when it comes to a Nida, the same is true when it comes to a Zava. The only way that a woman can begin to count Shivan Nikiyam is if she undergoes Hefsek Tahara. So, unless she checks herself, and the check herself has to take place before the Shivan Nikiyam begin. That's the source of the din that appears in the Shulchan Aruch, that before a woman can even begin to count Shivan Nikiyam, she has to check herself carefully before the end of the day, so that way beginning of the next day is considered to be Yom Naki Mitchilu V'Atzof. That's the requirement of Halacha of Hefsek Tahara. Whether or not that's a Dimin HaTorah, Dimin Rabbanan, that was a really question. For Dimin HaTorah, she really has a Cheskes Roeh, until proven otherwise, or maybe not. That was a Shaila. But the requirement of that Bedik of Hefsek Tahara is almost not negotiable. I say almost, because there may be one very, very strange scenario where maybe we're going to permit a woman to begin Shivan Nikiyam even without what at least we call a formal Hefsek Tahara. The background to this discussion is a very important potential Shaila Maisa. That's an issue that's raised by the Chavos Das, page 32 of the Mamre Kavos. So the Chavos Das, written by the Nesivos, one of the running Perushim on Yeredei Hochas Nida, from the top, page 32. So the Chavos Das, the first paragraph, raises the following question. Isha Shiras and Dam Mamish. So a woman has a regular period, I mean, it's normal. Yacharkach Noad Lamakos. Now, afterwards, she sees the period's coming to an end, and she's about to start to check herself. She realizes that she has a machla. And we know that she has a machla. We know for certain she has some kind of an irritation. Afilia duashimotziyadam. She went to the doctor. The doctor said, we know, we see. Not a question. It's a machla shea duashimotziyadam. Problem is, the efshlo livdok afilopam echas shlo timtzadam. Obviously, every time she's getting sort of the equal thing to check, to make sure that the bleeding of the period is over, that may be true, that the period blood is over. We have no way of knowing that, because every time she inserts the thing, well, she's going to be bleeding. Why is she going to be bleeding? Because she has a mapa. So now we get it. She's in a little bit of a catch-22. So on the one hand, she has to insert a bleeding cloth to prove that she's not bleeding anymore from the period, which she strongly suspects is the case, that she's definitely not bleeding anymore. On the other hand, every time she puts one in, she fails the test, because it, by definition, going to be blood on it. So what do? So the Chavos Das continues. Shalom Timzadam v'shapire zayin ikiyim tamayim. And also the yomim shirtal in ikiyim and tzvur v'dukim v'inan. So comes the Chavos Das and says that this woman will never be able to pull off Shivan ikiyim, because every time she tries to check herself during this, the week of ikiyim, it's never going to be naki. So the ilo yehei el shalom nivdaka. So he said, so let's make believe when she's checking herself, she's squatting down, so we'll call it a washout. We'll say that, well, it wasn't the bedika, but on the other hand, we don't think she's really bleeding from the period, but the problem is she didn't do bedika. The whole match, she doesn't do bedika. That's nothing. Once she starts the count of the kiva, she ate, she successfully gets it one clean bedika, she has a bedika on the kiva b'shachas, umatza Torah. Once she succeeds in getting one clean bedika, shuv machmina and kol hayamim b'cheskes bedukin Torah. So then, anything that she'll find, that she'll find a stain in the middle of the week or something, so then we'll ignore it because she has a makla yadua shivotzi dam. So basically, the Chavos Das just created for us the following scenario. That makos, from a halachic point of view, they're very good, they're very helpful to have to bring that up. The makos are very, very good in a halachic way, because once she knows she has a makla, we're just going to ignore all the blood and say, it's not really pure, it's not really for the uterus. But the problem is, that's only true, because she's not trying to prove that she stopped bleeding. Once she's trying to prove that she's not bleeding, she has to prove, which the mice approve, that she really stopped bleeding. So if that's the case, we have a big, big problem for a woman who wants to do a Hefsek Tahara, knowing full well that she has a machla. So she's going to put her bedikah cloth in and take it out, and there's going to be blood on it. So what's her response going to be? We're going to say, oh, that's okay, it's not machla. It probably is not machla, but you still didn't prove that the bleeding stopped in the uterus. So clearly doing a regular bedikah is not going to be an option for such a woman. So the question is, what is available? This is a very, very common challenge. So what is available? The woman knows she went to the doctor. The doctor said, you have a mock for the next 3 weeks. Can she ever get to the mikvah? Can she ever do hefsek tahara? So there was a suggestion that was made by one of the Gdolei Acharonim, Zichron Yosef. Zichron Yosef is quoted by Rav Kinega, and it's quoted by the Gdolei Acharonim, who came with the following suggestion. He said, the Chavos Das is fundamentally right, that you can't just do a bedika of hefsek tahara and call it a day if it's the blood on the bedika, no matter where the blood's coming from. But what you can do is, says the Zichron Yosef, is another type of hefsek tahara, a substitute kind of hefsek tahara. What other kind of hefsek tahara can you do? Says the Zichron Yosef, what's the goal of hefsek tahara? The goal of hefsek tahara is to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that the period is stopped, that the uterine bleeding is over. Says the Zichron Yosef, there are two different ways in halacha to do that. One is by inserting the bedikah cloth in shahi, that's the Mishnah need to describe. That's what 99.99% of the time women do. But there's another way of doing it as well. Says the Zichron Yosef, it's called calculation. Says it's called looking at the calendar. So a woman gets a period on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So we know if the derech ha'olam periods last 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, 8 days, that's a long period. By day 12, says the, just picked it off, turned up, says Zichron Yosef, nobody has 12-day periods. Nobody has 15-day periods. So says Zichron Yosef, we know just based on the calendar, obviously the bleeding has stopped there. This is some crazy, crazy item in a cloud, highly unlikely. So says Zichron Yosef, once a woman has reached the point where she knows her body, she's no longer bleeding, and the period blood is over, even though she cannot produce a clean bedikah cloth, it doesn't matter, because we know in our heart of hearts that any blood on the bedikah cloth is not from the uterus. We know it's all from the mach anyway. It's just that we haven't proven that the blood stopped. Says the Zichron Yosef, what's the difference whether you prove the blood stopped based on a clean bedikah cloth, or whether you've proved the blood stopped based on a calendar? That's also considered to be enough for proof. So she doesn't have to do anything. She just sits back, waits, a little patient, wait till the end of 5 days, that's not a proof. Because sometimes maybe she loses for 6 days. The end of 6 days is not a proof. But probably 7 days, but 9 days, 10 days, I'm calculating. So once she reaches the point that she never ever remembers having such a long period, so that's considered to be an acceptable substitute for hefsek tahara and would become very helpful for the woman in the mouth. So again, it may cost her another day or two to wait, but it at least will alleviate the problem, enable her to do a quote unquote hefsek tahara, and eventually get to the mikvah. So the question is, even in niyach that this is true, based on what? What criteria is she going to use to determine that she doesn't bleed anymore? Based on her own body? What in the world does that mean? So the Zichron Yosef elaborates based on a sugya in the fifth of the Mar Kamos on page 32. The Gemara says as follows: Amar Reb Shmuel Mishmei Reb Yechon. The Gemara says Chazdi the Tzvav of days. Amar Reb Shmuel Mishmei Reb Yechon. Isha Shiyeish Lav Eses. If a woman has a set period. Husband knows, the wife, they all know. She gets a period, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and it's going to last for 5-6 days, and then it's over, and then the next month she gets it at Rosh Chodesh. Every month she gets it around Rosh Chodesh time, he knows she has what's called an halacha of Vestas. Now, hopefully, we're going to talk a lot more down the line about Vestas. But for our purposes, so Rabbi Yechid says as follows: a woman knows she has a Vestas. Ba'ala mechashiv yimei Vesta ubo aleha. So the husband can actually be together with her without even finding out, without even ascertaining whether her period has stopped. What does that mean? So the Gemara discusses that the husband's going to coming back from a business trip, so she's fast asleep, so even he's not going to literally be bawled out, but he can touch her, he can kiss her, he doesn't even have to wake her up and ask her whether she's her or not. He can calculate, it's very simple. He knows that Rosh Chodesh Nisan, she's been getting a period on Rosh Chodesh for the last 20 years, now it's enough time after Rosh Chodesh that she could have finished the days of counting, so he's bawled out. By the Mechashim, he has to bawled out. So the Gemara says, Amar Leir Shmur Vayev El Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yechon, Afilu Yald of the Beziz El Medvol. So he says, well, wait a second, even if he's right, that he calculated properly, and she's probably not in need anymore, how in the world does he know that she went to the mikvah? Just because the bleeding stopped doesn't mean she's tahora. So he was away for 6 months, and now he comes back, and according to his calendar, she should be in the tahora days. How does he know that she's tahora? Maybe she didn't go to the mikvah. So the Gemara phrases the question as follows: if she is regular woman. So the women would go to the mikvah all the time. It was normal for women to go to the mikvah. In the olden days, even if the husbands weren't around, they went to the mikvah, the taras, the gutchim, etc. So it was considered to be normal. As long as he could figure out that the days of leaving the Romer, he could assume she went to the mikvah. But what if she's very young, and it was very hard for her, she was nervous, she doesn't like to go to the mikvah, she's a little girl. So how in the world could he assume that she went to the mikvah? So Amalekim says, no, not so terrible. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't talking about a situation where we know for a fact she ever got a period altogether. If she was a Vadei Rasa, so then you're right. How is a Suffolk Tvila Motzi from a Vadei Rasa? But Rabbi Yochanan, Suffolk Rasa, Suffolk La Rasa. So we're not even sure that she became a Nida in the first place. The infant of a Rasa, Ema Tavla. So probably she went to the mikvah. So basically the Gemara revamped and reformulated Rabbi Yochanan and said, yeah, it's okay, it's all right. You can assume that not only has the bleeding stopped, you can assume that she went to the mikvah as well. So we have to take, obviously this din is not so relevant for us, just wake her up, you know what I'm saying, in terms of the principle behind this din. What the Gemara introduced for us was the notion of mechashek u'mevesta, that the husband has the right, based on her previous history, to calculate what her periods are up to. He really has no idea what happened this past month, but based on history, he can assume that it happened such and such. So comes to Zichron Yosef and quotes this Gemara. It says, what do you see from this Gemara? That we really have no idea what's playing out in our body this particular month. But we do have a history to go on. So since last month, we know she bled for a couple of days, which would have translated to mean enough time for her to go to the mikveh now. And the same thing happened the month before. The last 20 years, that's what's been happening. So you see that Chazal took into consideration past performance. Whatever her body used to do for the last couple of months and years, we assume that's probably what it's doing now, and we can be matir isurim based on that. So says the Zichron Yosef, what's the difference whether we're going to use past performance to determine that the bleeding has stopped and assume she went to the mikvah? We don't even want to do that here. All we want to do is assume that the bleeding has stopped. We have Nebuch, a woman who has a makah. She can't produce a clean bedikah cloth. The only way for her to begin to count shem nekiyim is for us to prove that the bleeding has stopped. So you see from the Gemara needed after Zvav that you could prove the bleeding has stopped based on her own history. Just as that works vis-a-vis assuming that she probably was told or went to the mikvah, we can invoke that same principle and assume most part of the bleeding stopped, and if there's no need to produce a clean bedikah cloth. That was the Zichron Yosef's chiddush. So come all the Gedalia Charonim and jump on the Zichron Yosef, the Kideger, and the Sinitara, the Chazanish, everybody jumps on the Zichron Yosef and says, wait a second, I'll stop, blah, blah, blah. This idea that we can base things on the premise that she's probably repeating what happened last month, the same way last month she had a period for X amount of time and then she stopped, so that's probably what's happening, and we're comfortable with that problem that's happening, that's putting a lot of credibility, a lot of strength in the halakhic principle called Vestas. So Vestas means whatever her past performance was. Last month it was such and such, and 2 months ago it was like this, and 3 months ago it was this. So there is a big sugya masechas nidah, hopefully we'll get to it, not even in the next couple of weeks, but a couple of the next couple of months, called Vestas. Just how serious does the halacha take the principle of Vestas? The Gemara presents Zvestas the Araisa, Zvestas the Rabban. What does it mean? So the original machlokes, Tanoim and Amoraim, in the second breath of the Masechet Nida, about Vestas the Araisa, Vestas the Rabban, revolves around the following shiloh. A woman reaches a point in our on our calendar that she's expected to get a period. What do you mean she's expected to get a period? Because last month she got a period at such and such a day. So last month she got a period after a 29-day interval. So should she assume that she's going to get a period now as well? So the Gemara says that once a woman reaches that point, whatever that point is, called the Vestas, there are different types of Vestas, once a woman reaches that halachic moment called the Vestas, anticipated period, the halacha requires that she does a bedikah. The halacha assumes that we have a problem to prove it otherwise. So she has to check herself. She's required to be bodekes during the period of the vestas. So that's a din that everybody agrees to. The Gemara just raises the machlokes. Is that requirement of the bedikah a requirement in the Torah? Or is that only a requirement in the Rabbanim? It means that which we're concerned, that which we suspect, that which we think that she's going to get a period now, is that something that the Torah considers us to be concerned with, and we have to do a bedikah to offset that concern? But do I say, no, man, a Torah, what does last month have to do with this month? Last month. Meicha thinks that she has to check herself, man, a Torah, she's told to prove it otherwise. So that's a big machlokes in the Gemara, with the Vestas of the Reis, the Vestas of the Rabbanim. So we have to pass the halacha vestas and rali dirabanan. We pass it that yes, it's true that a woman reaches a time of a vestas, whatever that means, is required to do bedika, but no, that it's not a bedika that's required by the Torah. That it, at worst, is only required by the chachamim.
If it wasn't the raisa, we'd have changed hachazaka at all times.
Oh, we're getting okay. We're going to get the hachazaka in a second. That's going to be part of the story. So we pass the halacha that vestas are only midirabanan. So come the acharonim and say that which the Gemara is telling us. That a husband can make a cheshbon based on a veses and be bo'alel without ascertaining whether she's tahor or not, because what happened last month is probably what's happening this month. So the Achorim said, that makes a lot of sense if you have the vestas and the raisa. If you really believe that vestas are proof, if you really believe that what happened last month impacts what happens this month, so that works be'le kula be'le chobra. So if you're a real believer of Vestas Deraisa, then you require B'dikas Deraisa. If you're a real believer of Vestas Deraisa, then Baila B'chashiv, you may need to do so that the husband can make the calculations. If you really believe Vestas Deraisa, then you can do this half-baked Hefsikdara of the Zichron Yosef. The woman didn't do it, didn't check herself. Nobody can look like the Mishnah says. She just looked at the calendar and says, well, it's 9 days already and I'm probably not bleeding anymore. How does last month impact on this month? So the only way for last month to impact on this month is through the principle of Vestas. Now, this is the end of the Vestas, not the beginning of the Vestas. But the Achorim say that if you hold Vestas Deraisa, then it makes sense. If you hold Vestas Deraisa like we do, then the whole Zichron Yosef is very difficult.
Can you hold that?
Why wouldn't you say that lechomra? You have to, because you're concerned, maybe suffik that you have to go lechomra. You wouldn't go lechomra.
Right, but the Gemara does. But the Gemara does it. The Rav Yochanan does it. Rav Yochanan says mechashiv from a vesta even lekula. So you see that if you really truly believe that vestas are deraisa, that means we're really really comfortable saying, at least as we're almost comfortable saying, that's enough for proof.
Because her
previous cycle
becomes
a chazaka. Becomes a chazaka. That's
so
right.
Therefore
you have a right to follow that in a Torah, Benekul, Benekul. So all the Achorim jump in the Zichron Yosef. It's a beautiful Daish Tikkun Torah, but it's all Shalei Kealoha. It's all because it would all be true of Yad Vesas Deraisa. So could one defend the Zichron Yosef? Could one say that no? That even though we pass the Vestas Derabanan, the Zichron Yosef may still be right. So what is that based on? So there is a Nedi Behuda. Behuda has an important tshuva about Vestas Derabanan. And Behuda raises the question, why is it that Vestas Derabanan? If you think about it conceptually, what happened last month is a pretty good possibility it's going to happen this month. It's not just last month. It's been happening this way for the last 6 months. It's been happening for the last 20 years. So why shouldn't you assume it's going to happen this way again? So the Behuda says that you're right, that past performance is usually a good indicator, but there's something on her side. There's something very, very powerful on her side, and that is she has a chazaka. She has a cheskas tahora, because right now she's muteris. Right now she's tahora. So we're trying to figure out, has that changed or not? So on the one hand, she has a chazaka meikara, like we spoke a lot about in Kol HaBoker. She has a status quo that she's muteris. That's one check in our box, in our favor. On the other hand, we have this almost this chazaka that she's been seeing every month around this time of the month. So that seems to point in the direction that she's a surah. So you have one check in her favor, one X against her. What do? So we assume that Allah, everything is about to prove an asr. Until you can tell me that I have a problem, I can assume that I'm okay. So comes in and says, the reason why we paskin vestas are only midrabanan is not because we don't think vestas are accurate, not because we're arguing biologically. We think vestas are pretty good proof. They're not a bad proof. But there's another counterproof. The counterproof is the chazaka. So since she has a chazaka that's pointing in her direction, and she has a vestas that's about to do her in, but the two contradict each other, we end up with muteris, something but to prove an answer. But the Achronim, right? What about in the case of Zichron Yosef? So in the case of Zichron Yosef, so she doesn't really have, she doesn't have a cheskateta, she has a worse, she has a cheskazissa. But says the Zichron Yosef, here we have a good proof, the biological proof that her bleeding is probably stopped. Now, in the first scenario, the biological proof is working against her. But here the biological proof is working in her favor. Says the Sefer Achronim, in a case where we tried to figure out not where the period started, we're trying to figure out where the period ended, so the situation is better. Why? Because now let's line up the board. So on the one hand, she has a biological proof that the bleeding has probably stopped. On the other hand, she has a cheskas issur, because she has been bleeding for the last 5-6 days. So the two chazokas, the two rules, cancel each other out, And what are you left with? Everything's mutter until proven aser. So say the Acharonim that the Zichron Yosef can be right even if not Vestas are only with the Rabbanim. Vestas are only the Rabbanim when she has something that's counteracting the Vestas, and therefore she remains the Heterah Min HaTorah. But at the end of the cycle, when you have the svara of the biological proof into the proof, so then in Achanam, then she's going to be Muteres, just biological, just waiting for the days to end. So we can read a little bit more life into the Zichron Yosef. So the Chazanish is not sure that this is right. The Chazanish says, how do you know that's the reason why Vestas and the Rabbanim? Maybe the reason why Vestas is the Rabbanim, because we argue with the biology. We say that, says the Chazanish, we all know medically, there are so many factors that go into any given woman getting a period in any month. We know Bisman Hazeth. Why is it that in the olden days, the Gemara says that it was almost unheard of for a woman to have a Vestas Shein or Kavua. In the olden days, a woman had a period in the same day, you know, It was said, it was normal intervals. The Gemara says a woman has an abnormal cycle. It's a once in a blue moon, the Gemara says. Once in a long while, a woman's going to have an abnormal cycle. As a matter of fact, everything has changed. Women, most women do not have, quote unquote, they have normal cycles within the modern day definition of normal. A normal cycle, as a matter of fact, I'll tell you, if it's between day 28 and 35, that's normal. In the days of Chazal, that was crazy. That was unheard of, such a long span. As man as that, almost nobody has what we call a Vestas Kavua. The only Vestas Kavua we have today are women who are on medication. If you're on a birth control pill, and it's controlling like a machine, when you get your period, that's a Vestas Kavua today. As man as that, women who are off pills, nobody has Vestas Kavua as man as that. My hand, what changed? What changed from the days of Chazal till today? We know exactly what changed. The whole world changed. The whole way people function is different. In the olden days, everything was the same. If a person wakes up at the same time every day, you wake up at 5 o'clock, you milk the cows at 5 o'clock, you do your chores till 9 o'clock, you eat the same food every day, your the extent of your trip was to the marketplace. Nobody went to sleep. It got dark, you went to sleep. Everybody ate the same food, the same time, went to sleep at the same time, did absolutely nothing outside the house. Nobody ever traveled. So then your biology is going to act accordingly. So then your cycle is going to remain very close in sync. We all know from our own experience, when do women's cycles start going bananas? They go bananas when they start flying. They go bananas when they're in finals for graduate school. They start crazy when there's tension at work. They go every time you throw something in. When they start going on diets. And every time somebody does something that's strange, that starts to change the basics, the status quo of life. So women's cycles are very, very delicate. So the Pesukim tell us, "Baisa b'chayom." We know for a fact that the cycles have changed, that the women's life has changed, men's lives changed, the whole world has changed. So the cycles have changed accordingly.
So that's just used to be the Raisa according.
No. So the Chazanish says that even in the old days, says the Chazanish, that Vestas were not the Raisa. You know why? Because there are other factors. You can never say with certainty any given month. How do you know? How do you know last month you got up at the same time you got up this month? You never know. You can't have a din deraisa like that. So the Chazanish says, once you say that Vestas are never deraisa, because there's no way of predicting halachically deraisa take away 100% accuracy, so then the whole Zichron Yosef falls by the wayside. So when all the dust settles, we have this Chiddush Gadol of Zichron Yosef that would be very, very helpful for women who have machos, but we have a lot of Acharonim who are not so happy with the Zichron Yosef. One of the biggest kashas against the Zichron Yosef is the Sidrei Tara, one of the Gedolim in Hilchos Nidah at the back of Yerdea. So the Sidrei Tara says the Zichron Yosef's locus is gevaldik, it's very, really unbelievable. She has a raya from the fact that the days have passed, she's not bleeding anymore. He has just one kasha, says the Sidrei Tara. He's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah in the end of Masechet Nidah says that you have to be mafsik b'tara. The Mishnah says it time and time again. The whole sugi in the end of Masechet Nidah, a woman must do a bedikah before shkia, before she can begin the gap. Otherwise, it's not mafsik b'tara. How come the Mishnah never says anything about just waiting? If the Siddur Tara, if the Zichron Yosef is right, the Mishnah should have given that as an option of doing an alternate mafsik b'tara. The Achronim conclude one of two things. Either they conclude that the Siddur Tara is tako wrong. Is wrong. Not true. Or the Mishnah was talking about normal women. Normal women doesn't have a machlok. The kasha from why didn't the Mishnah say every case that you wanted it to say? He said the Mishnah would tell you normal 99% of the time when a woman does have sikash, she does with a dikkur cloth. But for the one crazy case, so we have to figure out on our own how to do it. So when all the dust settles, do we follow the Zichron Yosef? Do we not follow the Zichron Yosef? It's a very, very shaky Zichron Yosef. It's only a Shasar Chagol. We would never follow it under normal circumstances. But the poskim are makel, the Shasar Chagol. The woman really, really cannot produce a klipa d'kavod. So then we will let her Bishas Chagodim rely on this Yichud Yosef. And you have to wait a certain amount of days till she's really, really, really comfortable that she is not she's not seeing anymore. And then we'll let her begin Shemrikim and go through Shemrikim without any real bedigas, any form of bedigas. Can we do anything to make it even a little bit better, to make it a little bit stronger in Allah? So there is a suggestion that's given by the Nevi Yehuda that maybe we can add a little bit of oomph, a little bit of strength to this very, very weak type of a sitara. Maybe we could do as follows. This is a throwback all the way back to the beginning of Hilchos Nida. We spoke about the significance of Hargosha. Remember we said that Min HaTorah, Riyas Dam, is only called the Riyas Dam, but it's accompanied by Hargosha. It's accompanied by some kind of physical sensation. What that physical sensation is, whether it means she feels something trembling, whether she feels the universe opening, she feels liquid, moisture, whether she feels cramping, a lot of different possibilities of what the potential Hargosha is, but she has to feel some kind of a Hargosha. So that if you just said, what if you have a situation where we really, really suspect there's no bleeding anymore? We're really comfortable. It makes a lot of sense. It's probably no bleeding, but the Mishnah says, you need more than that. So says the Neviuda, maybe we can prove that she's not bleeding by the absence of Hargosha. If we can ascertain that she's not being margish in anything whatsoever, so then even if in theory there's a little bit of blood, but if it's a blood shalom Hargosha, it wouldn't concern us. How are you going to prove a negative? How are you going to prove there's no Hargosha? So the Neviuda suggests the following, based on the whole cheshbon. Says the Neviuda, let her sit in a quiet room, turn off the lights, and pay very, very, very careful attention. A few minutes before Shkia, she should sit here in Lucham Zuman. I'm paying attention. I'm not distracted. We hired a babysitter. The husband's not bothering us. She turned off her cell phone. She's sitting, this is the Prague, I'm very good in Prague, okay? Okay, a little more modern. She's sitting and waiting and feeling. Do I feel anything? Do I feel anything? I don't feel anything. Shun. No, that's considered to be a Raya Brua, that the bleeding must have stopped. So the Nebuda would never say such a thing on its own. So maybe, but see of the fact that's already day 9, and it's highly unlikely she's bleeding anyway. Maybe, but see of that, maybe we can combine that to the Zichron Yosef. It's very, very, we'd be very, very hesitant before we would even try such a stunt as well. I wouldn't recommend anybody
to do
that.
Some women don't really know what
Hargosha is. Yeah, no one knows. She had a whole period of Hargosha. She hasn't had Hargosha in 20 years. So what exactly is she waiting for? So we spoke about Hargosha. We spoke about how it could be that if you have a Re'iyah, which is Derech Re'iyosav, it's a normal way of a Re'iyah, regular period, doesn't even need Hargosha, according to many. So the whole thing is very, very shaky to do that. So it's an interesting idea, but Lamaisa, I don't think anybody in Rabban really practically implement that as much as that. But every once in a while, we will rely on this Zibin Yosef when one is really, really stuck. Again, this is reserved for those ones in a really blue moon situation. But again, even under those circumstances, many poskim had serious reservations with it, but Shas HaChagodol, one could possibly rely on that. But now we move into almost the opposite shaila of Zichron Yosef, which is much more relevant l'maisa for us. What the Zichron Yosef raised was an interesting conceptual question about what exactly we're trying to accomplish with a Hefsek Tara. So the Mishnah speaks about Hefsek Tara, and the Mishnah gives us a very practical way to do it. It's a normal practical way to 99% of the time, namely through producing a clean bedikah cloth. So there's no question that the method of Hefsek Tara normally is two bedikah cloths, and there's no question that the goal of the Hefsek Tara was to prove that the bleeding is stopped. We ran into a rut if we can't use the regular method, but we are probably getting the same result. What if you do the exact opposite of the Zichron Yosef? What if you do the same method, but your method probably didn't prove anything? So she goes through the motions, she takes the bedikah cloth and inserts it into that area, and lo and behold, it comes out clean, and we say to ourselves, you know what, that's really nice that she did practically what she was supposed to do, but we have absolutely no way of knowing where the bleeding has really stopped. What would the halacha be? Should we think much? We might see a lot of the bleeding headings. It hasn't stopped for the following reason. Comes the Chazon Ish and raises the following red flag about Hefsek Tara. It's Shkia, 6 o'clock. So it comes 5 o'clock in the evening. She's all ready to do Hefsek Tara. And she inserts a bedikah cloth and there's blood on the bedikah cloth. Okay, no big deal. So what does she do? It's only 5 o'clock. So 1 minute later, she does another bedikah. And there's still blood on the bedikah cloth. She does another one at 5:02. At 5:07, she's just done 7 checks, and they all blood of them. And all of a sudden, at 5:08, she does another one, That's clean. Says the Chazanish, that's a late sonus. Says, you know why that particular cloth is clean? Because all the blood that came, a woman doesn't bleed constantly, there's already day 5, day 6, she's not gushing. So she's still trickling down blood. So what she did is, she found the right window of opportunity to identify a clean bedika cloth. So she chafed, after she got rid of all the blood that was there, she did a bedika at 5, a way to get it clean. And guess what? If she would bother doing it at 5 or 9, she'd finally start to bleed again. But she's not mechuyev still. But she stayed in Shulchan Aruch, I did a bedika, I'm done. I did a time, I'm finished. Ready to roll, ready to start shivikim. By tomorrow morning, the bleeding will stop again. So says the Chazanish, he thinks that's a joke. He says, what kind of a chach is that? What kind of proof is that? Says the Chazanish, it's not a game. It's not the kach nemer halacha, Moshe said you have to do a hefsek tara and then call it a day. The goal of hefsek tara is to be the hochacha that the bleeding stopped. So b'medav ha'mamurim that it's valid if it really proves the bleeding stopped. But if we have external reasons to believe that your bedika did absolutely nothing to prove anything, so then that throws into question the very essence of the bedika. So this is almost like the flip side of the Zichron Yosef. In the case of the Zichron Yosef, so the woman knows the bleeding. We all know the bleeding stopped, but she never couldn't. She couldn't go through the motions because she's got a matzah that's blocking her. Here, she's going through all the motions, but the motions are not accomplishing what the motions are really supposed to be accomplishing. So can we accept such hefsek tara? We have to throw such hefsek tara out the window. So the Chazanish was not a big fan of these multiple hefsek taras, and therefore he said that any time a woman does hefsek tara and it turns out not to be acceptable, she has to wait a little bit of an interval. Problem is the Chazanish doesn't tell you how long that interval is. You have to wait a little bit of interval to give the body a chance to potentially start up again, to eventually start bleeding again. And then and only then will the clean bedik cloth be a proof to the cessation of the period. That's the Chazanish's famous chulun. According to the Chazanish, it would not only be true about a woman doing multiple bedikah cloths being a problem. Let's say a woman does as follows. She found to do a hefsek tara, so she runs and she sits in the bathtub for a long time. She cleans and cleans and cleans and cleans and cleans, and she walks out of the bath, 30 seconds later does a hefsek tara. It's also a joke. It's also not going to prove anything. That you have to give the body time to recuperate, give the body some time before she actually does hefsek tara itself. So according to this Chazanish, you throw a monkey wrench into a lot of hefsek taras. So there are a lot of issues with this Chazanish. A lot of poskim had serious reservations with this Chazanish. So one serious concern that the poskim had about this Chumash Chazanish is that it doesn't seem to be what the Ramah says. The Ramah seems to be of anything against this. There's a Ramah in the Siman about Hefsek Tara, where in Siman Kuf Tzadi Vav, where the Ramah writes that before a woman does Hefsek Tara, we not only permit her to clean herself first, we insist that she cleans herself first. The Ramah writes, if she's not going to clean herself thoroughly first, then she's going to have blood that's residue blood from a day or two ago, and she's going to end up messing herself up. So she's really ready. Her body has really stopped bleeding, but she's not going to have an accurate indication from the deep blood. So therefore, the Ramah writes an age-old practice that before women do have sick tires, they have to do clean themselves. So we turn around to Chazanish. So wait a second. Chazanish just told us that if they clean themselves and then do a hefsek tara right away, that's no good. But that's exactly what the Ramah is saying to do. The Ramah is advocating, he's encouraging them to do that, to make life easier for them. So how do we square away this? One of the Chazanish is disqualifying hefsek taras that follow cleaning. And the Ramah seems to be dafka encouraging, dafka advocating, insisting on doing that. That's one issue. Number two, the Achronim point out that women have been doing hefsek taras for thousands and thousands of years. According to one opinion of Rishon since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, even if according to the Rambam, the Rambam is required in that Torah. Even according to the Tells of Rosh, it's a Chum with the Rabbanon, sometime between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Danasi. So, hefsek taras have been around for thousands and thousands of years. Lo Shemano Davos Abiyanu. Whoever heard it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara, in the Rishon, the Shulchan Aruch, anything about timing, Bedikah, it doesn't say anything about don't do one after another. Apparently, this has been a common custom for hundreds and thousands of years. That when women were doing hefsek taras, sometimes they don't succeed at first. If you don't succeed at first, you try again. Lo shemana davar zemiyalam. So the Hayyavi Chazanish raised this red flag. No one ever heard of such a thing. So what's going on? So the Chazanish somehow intuitively makes a lot of sense. If the goal of hefsek taras is to accomplish end of bleeding, so then Chazanish's svar makes a lot of sense. But the problem is it doesn't seem to be borne out by the words of the Ramah, and it doesn't seem to be borne out by the Minig Yisrael for Deri Deri Deris. So hopefully from next week we have to try to analyze this Chazanish and see what the Chazanish really did say, what the Chazanish perhaps didn't say, and how this plays out. It's very, very real Shaila Ma'aseh, how this plays out for us. Halacha L'Maaseh.